There is no secret what God can do. Is that right?
Amen.
There is no secret. What He's done for others, He will do for you and I. And He's doing it, right? It is amazing what God can do. And I thank Him for allowing us to be here with you this Sabbath morning. We bring you greetings from about 65,000 of your church family there in Central Florida. And we came all the way up this way. And I tell you, we've never been this far, although we've been as far as Portland, because our daughter used to live there years ago, and I don't know if she's watching this morning, but you know, they told us all about the beauties of this beautiful state, and we're enjoying every bit of it. It's a great state, great people, and by the way, we thank you for hosting the seminar. And as I was visiting this week, all my dear friends, you know, new baptized members and others, you know, we had some good times, didn't we? And I was able to visit and share with them. And I'm glad all of them are here. And yet there's perhaps a few others did not make it. But again, we want to thank you and thank your pastor for allowing the meetings. And again, for the good cooking. You know, you got some tremendous cooks here, and we appreciate all that. You know, that's great. And of course, your pastor, I believe he's by over visiting in Illinois. And of course, it's a small world. We're all connected somehow. If I visit with you or anyone, and as I've done here, we find out that we don't have a connection. First of all, is with Jesus, amen? But then as we fellowship together, we get to know each other, and then we have a great time. It's wonderful. So it's great to be here. And again, we thank you for the opportunity, and we're just going to share some testimonies and again some scripture with you to let you know that God has done great things for us. As you know, I'm one of six brothers. I happen to be my brother here. Let's give it up. But I'm the oldest of the clan. How's that? Out of six boys. But we're all very close-knit. Louis just called me as he arrived in the Philippines. I said, Gene, I'm here. Wherever he travels, he always shares that with me, because that's the kind of relationship we have with the whole family. And it's no difference with the church, because I feel comfortable here. I feel like I'm with my extended family. Isn't that something? That wherever you go. So I really appreciate you all and thank God for what He's doing and He will continue to do. And I'm grateful that my good wife is with me. You mentioned 58 years. I tell you, she deserves a crown. But I thank God for those good spouses. Amen? Thank God for those that take good care of us. And I thank the Lord for watching over all of us. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for allowing us these moments together. We thank you, Father, for what you've done in the past and for what you're doing now. I'm knowing that the best is yet to come. We thank you for that, because that is the blessed hope. And, oh, Father, we pray that as I open thy word, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart may be acceptable in thy sight. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. You've noticed that the scripture this morning is found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28. And here's God speaking to His people. And God is speaking to us today too, because He loves us. And He has a lot of counsel for us living in these last days of our history. And I thank God for that. The problem here that they were having is that Israel, His people, would be on and off. And they were, at one point, they were close, and they were following the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, we'll do. It's just like some people, well, I promise you I'll do this and I'll do that. I remember one of my brothers, every time that he would be in the pen, we'd visit with him, mom and I, and he would promise that as soon as he got out that he was going to do the right thing. It took a long time, but you know, God never gives up on any one of us. It took a while, but I had the privilege of baptizing him some time ago. He was the last one of the six, so thank the Lord. But you know, God is still in the work of salvation, amen? And I thank God for that. So again, we see that the good Lord is merciful with us, as He has been with His people throughout the ages. As I read these scriptures, He's speaking to me, because I take it very personal. But notice here, chapter 36 and verses 26 through 28. Notice what He says. A new heart. What? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. As I'm reading that, I'm reminded of the psalmist there in Psalm 51, where he requested that the Lord will create in him a new heart and a right spirit within him. He has some challenges. But now he was committed. Now he was repentant. Now he really had a walk with the Lord. And now he just wanted to keep on, keeping on. And beloved, that's speaking to me because it's not how you begin. We all have begun. You all remember the time when you said to the Lord, yes, years ago, you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But somehow you had your challenges, but yet thank God that we are all still here because God has a plan for us. And his plans are better than the ones that we can make. We can go and do all these things, but God is still there with us, leading us along the way. Notice it says that, I will put my spirit within you, and I will take away what kind of a heart? A rebellious heart. A stiff-necked people's heart, the way it was. And we see that the Lord is speaking to us today, and notice it says, the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you what? A heart of flesh, right? He was giving us a heart of flesh. And I will put my what? Put my spirit within you. And there was a time when we needed God's spirit to be leading us along the way. It is today, dear brethren. Because we know that it's not easy dealing with all the challenges out there. Because we know that the evil one, he has but a little time left. He's like a roaring lion. And you know, according to John 10:10, he came what? Jesus said that he came to what? To destroy us. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So I thank God that when we one with God is the majority, amen? We have nothing to fear. All we have to do is trust and obey, and he will lead us along the way. Notice here it says that, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's God's desire. You know, he's not a strict God. I learned that years ago when I was on my own doing my own things. I often fell on my face. But then when I started listening to his voice and following the council, all went well. I tell you, it's been a great journey, a great experience. And you will see a little bit, you know, so I will share with you one of the ups and downs that we have, you know, the problems that come our way. But yet we, in the midst of the storm, we can make it. It says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And notice verse 28, it sounds like I'm reading from the book of Revelation, you know, towards the coming of the Lord. But when we're with the Lord, he says, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Isn't that how the book of Revelation ends, after the holy city? And we are home free at last, where we'll be able to spend eternity together. And I believe that that day is very near. When I first embraced the message of the Lord, growing up in the ghettos of New York, there as the older brothers, you know, it wasn't easy. And of course, you know, growing up in that area, I got involved in so many things. But God so fit to give me a second chance. See, he's the God of second chances. Amen? What would it be if he did not? If God was like us, we wouldn't allow a second chance. But God is a gracious God, a loving God, a God that really, even if you're in those places where we come from, you can imagine. Some of you might have gone through those challenges. But you know, the thing was that the Lord has been with us all along the way. And he saw that we would be able to find him. As he speaks here about a stony heart, when I think of my dad, our father, I thank God what transpired. He had a change of heart, so to speak. God gave him a new heart. And when God works on you, watch out. If you commit your life to him, what he would do with you. This is in the spiritual terms. God worked with him, and because of him, we've been blessed. Some of you have probably read the book, Elsa, that's my mom. Thank God for that godly mother who stood up with all that abuse and all those problems, all the things that came away. But she had the heart of God, so to speak. Because there was a time that women, a single parent, taking those kids to the daycare, and then they would go to school and doing that every day. She was called the hen with her chicks, you see. And there was a time, I don't know if you heard this before, but there was a time when someone asked my mom if she would be willing to allow one of the kids to be adopted. And she would never miss him because they would be connected. They would have a relationship. But she said, no. Then there was another one that said, can I have this one? She said, no, I do not give away my kids. And that's what God did at the cross of Calvary. He wasn't going to give us up. He adopted us. And this is why we cried out, Abba, Father, beloved. And this is why you and I, we have to continue to focus our eyes on him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the one who's coming again. Amen? So I thank God for the many promises. But notice, as Ezekiel speaks about, again, creating a new heart and a new spirit, some time ago, we met Jim Seneker. And Jim Seneker, it was quite interesting the way we led. You know, God leads in mysterious ways. He's wonders to proclaim. Before I go on with Jim Seneca, let me tell you, this was December 9th, 1996. It was on a Monday, and I will never forget this. It was on a Monday. I had been at the bookstore buying some Christian literature just before Christmas. The best gift to give someone is a printed page, okay, where they can read themselves and find out about especially the Bible, which we sold when we went out as Christians. But again, we were out there trying to get some literature so that we can share with our friends. And all the literature was dealing with Jesus, our friend. So we came home. It was probably about 10 p.m. So when we came home, we had the answering machine on. The first message was calling us, look, we have a problem. We're here at the school. We picked up the kids in Kentucky. They lived in Kentucky, but they were in Tennessee. They said, we went by and picked up the kids at school. That was our daughter-in-law. And then the second message immediately was the one that really hit home. The second one was, remember she had been trying to pick up the kids at school, she did. And then the second one was, Isabel was in a wreck. We had four children. The first one was a girl, the second one a boy, the third one a girl, and then the fourth one, guess what, a girl again, Isabel. Isabel was very close to our hearts, and she had a beautiful voice. She would go whenever we had any services. She would go and she would sing with that beautiful voice. She was very close to us, all of them. You know, all our kids, you know, we love them all. And as I say, we were a very close family. So the thing was at that night, we got that news. It was kind of difficult because it was late at night. She couldn't get a flight out of Orlando to fly out to Nashville, Tennessee, where she was. They had to fly her over by helicopter to Nashville Vanderbilt Medical Center. So we couldn't get a flight, and here we're concerned about our dear daughter. You know how it is, parents, right? You do anything for your kids. Thank God that you still have that heart, like my mother. So the thing was that we felt like we needed to get a flight. But guess what? When you feel you're in that condition, you have a difficult time getting a flight, guess what you do? You call your prayer warriors, right? By the way, I did call my dad all the way down in Puerto Rico. I said, Dad, Isabel's in a wreck. We do not know the outcome, what's going to be. We got on the phone. We got connected with the king. And so the thing was that we had a flight the next day to Nashville, Tennessee. And as we arrived there, our kids were there. You know, to go into the ICU and to look at our beautiful daughter. But this time it was a little bit different. She was hooked up to all the machines. She was intubated. And to look at that girl there, it was very difficult for all of us. And this is something that lives with you forever, right? But the only thing that you have is that because of how the Lord has led us, and because we know that He lives, we have, again, something to live for. We know that the Lord will work things out, but it's not easy. So the thing was, here we find ourselves now there and dealing with this issue. And the family is there, and our son, I thank God for him and his wife and the whole family. Our daughter was in this area back then, but the Lord worked it out in such a way that we prayed. And when I had a preacher from there, I called the preacher. I said, please, see if you can go there and pray for our daughter. You believe in prayer? All right? I believe in prayer. The answers are not always the way we want them to be, but what God does, He does everything good. Amen? He does everything well. I said, when He created this planet and created you and I, He, at the beginning, before sin, He created things well. This is today. This was not in God's plan. Let's put it that way. You see, God's plan was that we would not have those kind of accidents or wrecks or hospital or sickness and all these problems that we're facing. All the smoke, that this fire. This is not of God. This is because of what took place at the beginning because of our disobedience. But the thing is that God is still with us. Amen? God is still a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. So here we come to the point in time when we had to make a decision. They came and visited with her husband and the family. And of course, we had to make a decision. And the decision was that we would be an organ donor family. And it wasn't easy. That accident she has in a truck, the whole brain, you know, was all, I didn't even want to see it, seeing her there. But the thing was that I felt like if the Lord was going to save her, she would save her with or without. God has done that. Amen? That's, for God, nothing is impossible, right? You know, and this is why we need to trust more in Him. And these kind of experiences should draw us more closer to Him now than ever before, as we see the end approaching. Because we know how it all is going to end. Amen? And that gives us hope to look beyond. So we prayed, and the husband signed the documents. And of course, we left. We had to take care of her funeral services. But then we always thought how good it would be. Because we found out from the National Transplant Organization that there were four people that benefited from her organs. Four people. They didn't tell us who they were. But we prayed that the Lord will allow us to meet their recipients. And out of four, we had a prayer answered. And that prayer was to meet the one who received her heart. And right now, you're going to see, they had this on the news. I'd like for you to see the report by the local TV stations. This happened in Tennessee.
Life and death came full circle in an unlikely place today, the lobby of a Walt Disney World hotel. That's where athletes who received organ transplants and the families who donated those organs began gathering for this year's transplant games. Among many bittersweet reunions today was the emotional meeting between an Orlando family and the man who received their daughter's heart. The Torres family wears Isabel's picture close to their hearts as they search the crowd for the man who now has hers.
You made it. Jim.
Then suddenly, Jim Seneca and his wife are here all the way from Tennessee. And in a way, so is Isabel. The first thing her mom does is feel the heart she gave away.
How's my heart doing?
Isabel was killed in a car accident at age 30. She left behind a large, closely knit family and four organs, a heart, liver, and two kidneys. Jim was near death when word came that they'd found a donor heart for him.
I don't really know how you can explain it. It's like, well, I'm going to get a chance to live. But it's from down here all the way up here.
Like so many who've received similar gifts, Jim and his wife wanted to meet their donor's family.
Well, I've gained the whole family. Now, haven't I?
It's an overwhelming moment for those who loved Isabel best.
It's neat to see the whole continuum of things and see how somebody actually has life and they can live on and be with their family even despite some such tragedy. It's a neat feeling.
And a feeling they know other organ donor families share.
And Jim will put Isabel's heart to the test tomorrow as he competes in the shot put, long jump, 200 meters, and basketball for the Tennessee team. Jim was fortunate to get an organ. So many people who desperately need them still die waiting. Our Health News coverage team's Dr. Mary Lynn Brown is here with more on the status of the organ shortage in the U.S.
Right now, 70,000 patients are waiting on a national transplant waiting list. 10 of those people will die today waiting for a transplant. Over half of those patients are kidney patients who are on dialysis and desperately need a transplant. This crisis is especially important in minorities, as end-stage renal or kidney disease is 3 times more common in Afro-Americans, Hispanics, and Asians than in whites. A single organ donation can help over 50 people. So how do you become a donor? First of all, discuss your decision with your family. In the state of Florida, all you need to do is sign your driver's license. For Channel 9's Health News coverage team, I'm Dr. Mary Lynn Brown.
Great organization to be involved in. Well, Disney's Wide World of Sports is hosting another great event, this year's 2000 Transplant Games.
People from around the nation and the world will compete in a variety of athletic events. But, you know, they're really not here to win because they've already won in the game of life. Here's Tomiko Gibson.
Thanks, Brad. How many times have you heard, give the gift of life? And how many times did you just shrug it off and go on with your very, very busy lives? I know I did until I met two very extraordinary families who have taught me what it truly means to give the gift of life.
Tennessee!
Folks in Seymour, Tennessee who know Jim Seneca will tell you, this farmer has plenty of heart. And right here in Central Florida, you could say exactly the same thing about his friend, Pastor Eugene Torres. They're two men from two cities who share one very, very special heart. In December of 96, God called early for 30-year-old Isabel Torres Baker.
She was my baby, and she was very special.
Acting on faith, her father Eugene donated her organs. Less than an hour later, 59-year-old Jim received a new heart and a new chance at life.
I honestly feel wonderful. I've had so good results.
Now both families have come together for the 2000 Transplant Games, where Jim will throw the shot put, jump long and high, and run the 200-meter dash, and where his and Isabel's heart will beat strong.
And he realizes that. And in fact, you know, the first time we met, he said, you gave me the gift of life. And I said, no, Isabel. And I look forward to someday you may be able to thank the Lord first and then thank Isabel.
It was really a crying time. Really, I mean, I cried, but it really felt like I was going out to the car to meet some of my family that I knew was family, but I'd never ever seen before.
Just a little while ago, I had a chance to, you know, touch his chest and hear our daughter's heart still beating there.
And they like to listen to her heartbeat, and I told them that's fine with me.
Here's what they'd like to tell you.
But I'd like to say that it is a gift of life. And give somebody that same gift they gave me. And I don't guess I really smell the roses, but now I've learned to live life a day at a time, and thank God for it.
That Jim wrote to the Torres Baker donor family, and he wrote it right after attending the Tennessee Senior Games, in which he won 3 medals. It says, "My goal was to do the very best I could in order to win 2 medals, one each for Brian and Catherine, to remember what their mother's ultimate gift of life has done for recipients of one of her gifts. I feel like I have my own special angel watching over me, but I haven't burst into song yet." And to Isabel Torres Baker and the thousands of organ donors like her, this giving back is dedicated to you.
Well, something else, seeing them place their hands on his heart to feel it beat. I mean, how unbelievable that must be for them.
We're told to be detached, but it was just so moving.
That's a very touching story.
Thank you.
You probably wonder where Jim is. Jim passed away last year from other complications, but we became a family. And I look forward to the day when I'll be able to see Jim. We'll be able to see him. But you know, beloved, as we think about the gift of life, the greatest life that was ever donated was Jesus there at Calvary when he gave his life for you and for me. And he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." He says, "If you believe in me, believe also in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." She's going to be there. I'm looking forward to Jim, and I'm looking forward to each one of you. Over in Romans chapter 8, those very familiar words have been an encouragement to us. And remember, Jesus had said that in this world we shall face tribulations. But he says, cheer up, because I have overcome the world, there in John 16:33. Beloved, the best is before us. And this is why, you know, we're stronger now than ever before. Even the devil thought that when Jesus died, that he had won. But listen, that was his loss, because Jesus won the battle for us at Calvary. And because of that, you and I have something to look forward to. And this is when Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us? Now, the evil one will try, and many other things will come our way. But the thing is that Paul says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Yes or no? We say no. Amen? Because we know in whom we have believed. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what the evil one would like to do, you see. And that's why many of us might have to, before the Lord comes, you know, he'll allow us to go to rest. But you know, if you sleep and you die with those eyes focused on the Lord, as you continue to behold him, you're going to see him soon. And you're going to be reunited with all your loved ones. Because I know many of you have lost dear ones. And you long for that day. That should be our date when we'll be able to be together. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, said Paul, I am persuaded, you know, one who was a martyr, one who died also. But once he met Jesus, he had a new heart. The Lord broke them up. And sometimes we may have to be broken up so that we can see what he has in store for us and to know what a great Savior he is. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Guess what? Who is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. Beloved, this morning, I just want to challenge you. I, for one, like to rededicate my life anew to the Lord, because God has been so great to us. God has been a wonderful God. And I know some of you, I thank God for those of you who went down into the baptistry and accepted Jesus. And now you're walking. Some of you are still, you love Jesus and you want to continue to keep your eyes on him. By the way, Jim Seneca, he had a brother who's a Lutheran minister out there in Knoxville, Tennessee. I had a chance to talk with all these folks. So the thing is, we had a good relationship. I'm looking forward to seeing Jim. We're going to be together. But the thing is, the only way that this can be accomplished, if we continue to follow the Lord all the way, because he won't be long. When the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are living will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be with the Lord, not just for a few days. You know, even 969 years that Methuselah lived, that's nothing that can be compared to eternity. A life without end, amen? Without hospitals, without death, without all these problems that we're facing here today. So that ought to encourage us to look unto Jesus, amen? So now, this morning, I just want to, again, renew my commitment to the Lord. And I wonder if maybe some of you here would like to stand and join me. It's with the Lord, not with me, that you want to rededicate your life anew with him and ask him to come into your heart. And we'll finish with that as we sing that. And I thank you for standing up and for standing for Jesus. If you stand for Jesus today, you'll be able to be one of those that will stand at the end. Because there'll be only two groups of people at the end. The ones who will be saying, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us." The other ones will be crying to the rocks, looking for the graves to hide him. But beloved, this is the time to say yes. Let me pray for you. Loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church, for each one of those who are here today, our visitors, and, oh, Father, for what you have wrought. Oh, Father, we know that here in this town of Southern Lynn, there's many souls, and Roseburg and all this area, many who would want to know what we have already studied during these seminars. And, oh, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work upon their hearts. And as we here today recommit our lives anew to you, oh, Father, we pray that you be merciful unto them as you have been with us, that they will be able to know Jesus. Oh, Father, grant us again that favor of being able to be one with you. And we look forward to the time, oh Lord, when you extend your loving arms and you extend that great invitation. When I hear your words saying, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." Oh, Father, may all of us here, including our loved ones, our friends, and those whom we have labored for, oh, be able to be present and be able to be caught up with you. So grant us your blessings this day. Keep us safe. And oh, thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.